Welcome to Healthy Bottom Line, a podcast from Chief Healthcare Executive. I'm Ron Southwick, lead editor of Chief Healthcare Executive. We're talking today with Payman Zand, the Chief Strategy Officer of Cerecor. Today, we'll be talking about the importance of aligning technology initiatives with the goals of healthcare organizations. He discusses the value of CIOs and CFOs working together, finding creative ways to control costs, and getting the most out of IT investments. It's a great conversation. Thanks for joining us. This is Healthy Bottom Line. Well, thanks for joining us here today on Healthy Bottom Line. Today, we are talking with Payman Zand, the Chief Strategy Officer of Cerecor. Payman, thanks so much for joining us today.
Happy to be with you, Ron, and with your audience. Thank you.
Well, you've worked through a number of different health systems, and I think you've had a pretty interesting journey through your career. So just a starting point, just to tell our audience about your career and about your journey in the healthcare industry.
Yeah, I go back many years when I graduated from Michigan State University, and I became the head of IT. Back then, we were calling us IT directors for Michigan State University Healthcare System. And then from then on, I had a couple of tours of duty at working for Governor John Engler as a contractor, not a civil servant, and managing their major projects. And then for Dow Chemical as a CIO of the specialty chemicals business. But then I came back to healthcare, and I've been at UNC Healthcare as a head of strategy. I've been with Tenet Healthcare as a regional CIO. And now with Cerecor, which is part of HCA, as Chief Strategy Officer. So it's been mostly in healthcare, but a couple of stints in other industries as well.
And interesting that your experience with some pretty notable healthcare systems, like you mentioned, Tenet, UNC Health, and of course, Cerecor, a subsidiary of HCA Healthcare. Just you've got a lot of interesting experience you bring to your current role. And obviously, that fits in really nicely with a lot of the work that that you are doing now. Cerecor does consulting for electronic health records, other IT services, technical staffing. Just from your perspective, especially because you see things from sort of both sides of the table, per se. What are some of the big needs that you're seeing from hospitals and health systems when it comes to information technology?
Yeah, so I mean, if I take a look at Cerecor's own startup, which is about 30 years ago, which was in the divestitures and M&A, we ended up being involved in just about every aspect of IT, and then today, as you mentioned, we provide all kinds of different services. And one of the differentiators that we think is not only the tie into an actual healthcare system, but we are mission based as a company, so we go in trying to actually solve pragmatically solve some of the major challenges that the CIOs have. And the fact that most of us, we've got somewhere between 500 to 1,000, depending on how you count the contractors, working for Cerecor. Just about every one of us has worked in healthcare systems, so we understand our executives and other team members that we work with at the hospitals what their challenges are. So we are very much in tune with that. We're still in, part of a healthcare system, so we live this day to day. And so as the changes come about, as dynamics change in the market, we are not only in tune, but we bring those, some of those solutions to them. So that's part of the discussion that hopefully we'll have today as well.
Well, obviously, IT is such a challenge for a lot of hospitals, health systems, and hospitals that are facing, big pressures with finances in a lot of different areas. So how do you prioritize those IT budgets at a time when many health systems are looking at cutting costs?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, when you talk about CIOs and CFOs, you know, potentially, you know, having kind of the yin and the yang, right? That being at odds from a budget perspective and the requirements that they have. But if you take a look at this, the CIOs have a requirement to bring advanced technologies, and this is not driven by the CIOs themselves. It might be driven by the chief medical officer, chief operating officer, et cetera. And but they are the voice of the company, and they have to bring some of these advanced technologies for whatever the needs are, and then they at the same time have to maintain and manage the existing environment, which some of us call legacy environments, and so both of those are critically important. And one of the challenges that I see is that sometimes the CIO becomes sort of the voice for all of the activities that are going on. This is why we recommend that generally any kind of a governance structure that you have is not led by the CIO, that is led by one of the other executives. And then the other challenge is that, how do, including the CIO, articulate value in the initiatives that they have, in the investments that they plan to make. And not all the values are measured in dollars either, right? It could be patient safety, it could be quality, it could be physician satisfaction, et cetera. But why do these issues still, or challenges still exist? And I think what we find is that a lot of these investment priorities, IT or otherwise, a lot of these investment priorities are not tightly aligned to the overall strategic objectives. And it is, they believe in many cases that it is, but it is a lack of rigorous processes to tightly align them. I think that's one of the main challenges we see.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, because that brought up something I've seen at healthcare conferences more and more, but the whole idea of aligning the IT with those strategic objectives. Just talk more about, because that's one thing I've heard a lot at some of the conferences I've been in the last couple of years, like where people were starting to get maybe AI solutions per se, but they were sort of getting them because they felt like they had to get them. And now there's more discussion like, well, we need to get something that's going to attack us a problem that we're really facing, or to meet an organizational need. So is that something you see often, sometimes that lack of alignment with the sort of strategic aims of the organization with sort of the IT, that sometimes are not always meshing together as much?
It's funny. A few years ago, I was one of the healthcare systems, and when I asked how these initiatives are prioritized, I said, "Well, the CEO wants this, or the CEO wants this, or some chief executive officer wanted it," and that's not the basis for alignment. So, what we normally recommend is identify a few attributes, and these attributes could be anything from, like I said, patient safety, physician satisfaction, et cetera, whatever the whole organization has identified. Identify those attributes that are critical for where you're headed and what you're looking at, and then assign or some kind of a high, medium, low value. And not everything can be high. And so now this way, we actually understand that any one of those initiatives has to tightly align to one of these attributes. And then the next step is to also identify the ability to execute on these things. And these ability to execute could be skill sets that you have. It can also be the ability to be able to purchase systems, et cetera. And finally, it's the opportunity to introduce change into the organizations and the organization ability to actually adopt those changes. And that's just as critical as anything else. And within that is, for example, if you don't have a lot of AI or automation background, and you have to go buy it from the market, then you're still kind of, eroding the ROI or the return on investment, because you're now spending more money to go buy those skill sets. And now, when you put all of these together, you have a pretty rigorous process of both. Think about it as the on the x-axis the tight alignment to the objectives, and on the y-axis being, for example, the ability to execute. And when you put those together, now the picture becomes obvious, and which one actually bubbles up to the top, where you're going to do those projects first, and then which ones you're going to do later. And I think that's really the key that organizations need to look at. But one of the big things that I want to mention here, Ron, is that whole identification of the attributes and their high, medium, low valuation and the ability to execute, it might take the CIOs and the rest of the executive between 6 to 12 months to agree on. So this is not something that you do a week or two before planning, budget planning. This is something that you have to start now, and hopefully in the next fiscal year, you will have a tight agreement to those alignment attributes.
That was interesting timing, and I think that's some really good advice for folks too. Not just a couple of weeks before the, but like this is something you start discussions about months ahead of time to really maybe lay the groundwork and really kind of help identify those priorities and how you're going to get there. That's, I think sometimes that's, in the midst of doing all the day to day and putting out the fires day to day, if you're not going a little bit longer term, then you're set yourself up for some problems, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, I think that not only that, but I've also been in meetings where once the attributes are identified, once the agreement is even there, we walk into the budget meeting and one of the executives, or more than one, are surprised about how prioritization actually pushed their projects down the list. I've been in those meetings where they come back to me and say, "Payman, can we get that one back up the priority list? Because I don't like it where it's at." I said, "Well, you have to go back and all agree on what the priorities are for the company." So, one of the biggest things, Ron, I should also mention is that this is not, we don't just recommend this for IT investments, right? For technology investments. We recommend this thing to be broadly accepted across the organization because you've got finite amount of dollars. And for that behavioral health wing that you're going to install in the hospital, that's going to cost you, tens of millions of dollars, is going to compete with that new Epic module that you're going to roll out. And so once you have those attributes allocated to all of these different things, that's when you can really understand where do you spend the money and where do you invest the time of your resources in the company as well. But that's more challenging even than just addressing the IT part.
Well, I want to go back to something you were mentioning earlier, talking about the CIO and the chief financial officer relationships, and maybe talk more about that. And you already were starting to sketch it out nicely, but how can the CIOs and the other hospital leaders, including those CFOs, really work together better to get the most from IT investments?
Right. So if you think about when I've been in those roles, or I've seen my friends that have been in the roles, we sometimes bring technology and innovation to the organizations, and sometimes we are kind of pushed by it, right? I mean, years ago, I remember our doctors wanted to do texting with their patients, and an organization was saying, "Oh, we can't do that. Hold on, we don't have a solution for that." And it took us a while to actually get that one right. We got it. Now, if you take a look at AI, what are we doing? We're doing the same thing, by the way. We don't know how to deal with that. So what do? We put stop on it. So if you think about this, is probably what I call the CIO's Achilles heel, right? What happens is that there is always more demand than there is budget, right? So the way we naturally design our systems is to either slow down or stop some of the projects, right? So the minute AI comes around, what do most organizations do? We're going to ban all AI. You can't get on AI. Or some of them come back and say, "Well, there is one. We can let you use Microsoft Copilot, and that's about it." Well, that probably may not be necessarily the right approach to this thing. What I think is the better approach is, as I mentioned, identify those attributes and all that amongst the executives, but cascade that communication down the rest of the organization so that when people come up with those demands, they have already put it through those types of attributes that you already identified. So less demand comes up because they already understand. The rest of the organization now understands what are some of the priorities, what's going to get approved. And so what comes up is really the stuff that is important because it meets those attributes. And the other part of it that I'll just mention here, which is just as important, I recently worked with a CEO of a hospital system that had a really good grasp of technology and IT in general. And he worked collaboratively with the rest of his management team to identify opportunities and funding sources that were outside of his organization. These were cooperative buying organizations that they were already a member of, or there were grants that the government organizations, federal or statewide, offered to them. By doing that, they were able to actually reduce their cost by 30 to 50%, meaning that they actually received external funding for 30 to 50% of their initiatives through external sources. And that goes a long way, especially in this day and age that margins are really tight. The other part that another CEO that I actually worked with, what he did is that he identified two or three other hospitals in the region that were close to them, and I asked the question about whether they had the same need for the same technologies, and they all did. And so then they started actually going after implementing these systems for all four hospitals rather than just the one hospital. And again, defraying the cost, managing the to defray the maintenance cost and the resources that they have, et cetera. So the whole point about all of this is that innovation is great. The need is probably common. There's probably additional sources of funding. So look beyond the four walls of your own organization and go outside. Get innovative in funding sources, just as well as you get innovative on technology.
That's a really creative, and the idea of going outside, even outside your own organization, that was a really interesting example. Like, and it seems like a successful one of where going outside, you found ways to drive down some costs and kind of meet some of your needs. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, and sometimes we think about it, and the reason people don't think about it is because they think they're competing for the same patients, resources, and type services, et cetera. But we're getting to be such a connected communities that we are probably cooperating more than we are competing. And I think this is becoming more and more obvious as you see larger healthcare system buying up different smaller hospitals or healthcare systems. It isn't just from a cost perspective, it is more from a competitive advantage perspective. Meaning, not competitive advantage, I should say, it's more about meeting the patient's needs out there and being able to provide those services. And that's why I think it's absolutely the time for us to think more broadly and outside of our four walls and partner with other organizations. That's the only way I think healthcare systems and hospitals will succeed going forward.
Well, just building on these themes, and I think you've already offered some really good insights already, but what are some other key pieces of advice you'd offer to hospital and health system leaders as they're managing, IT needs and needing to upgrade in technology and wanting to be more innovative at the same time that they are looking at mounting cost pressures and even probably reduced funding, whether it's Medicaid programs or other funding challenges they're facing? So what other advice would you be giving hospital health system leaders to manage a pretty tricky landscape right now?
So one of the things we started, you actually mentioned it, was leveraging AI from the beginning, at the beginning of our discussion. And I think it's really important to actually, we now have this major innovation that can be very helpful to us. And because of the concerns that we have, and they're all valid concerns from patient safety, wrong information, et cetera, that we want to take the steps very carefully. But at the same time, I think there are ways for us to actually look at AI and automation specifically to reduce our costs dramatically. In some cases, think about Silicon Valley development teams have really taken advantage of this, and they have cut their costs by as much as 75% and speed to market of some of the product development by 4 to 5 times. So this is really accelerated in some of those other industries. Generally, being more conservative and being more safety conscious industry, we go about it slower. But at the same time, I think that's really an important part for us to take a look at it and see how can we actually leverage it in a way to reduce our operational costs, right? So that forget about patient safety. We're not going to touch that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about your vaccine information upload to federal government or other sources. How can we automate and use AI to actually accelerate those types of things? And now, if you can reduce your cost, think about some of these EHR platforms. They increased our number of resources that we had to hire to manage them tremendously. In one of the organizations that I was at, we went from 400 people to 700 when we rolled out a brand new EHR system. And CFO was not very happy about that. So can we reverse that trend and have a and lower that number?
Some very good insights there. I wanted to see, and I think it might apply, but maybe just to ask it, for the smaller hospital systems or smaller health systems, who who are really especially resource challenged, and they're not going to be able to throw the resources they'd like to some other organizations. Any guidance for those folks who face especially challenging resource constraints?
Yeah, so actually, small to mid-sized hospitals, especially small hospitals, are one of our key segment of the population, segment of customers that we serve, and primarily because of the fact that they don't have some of the luxuries that the larger healthcare systems have. So they have difficulty finding chief information officers, chief security officers, et cetera, et cetera. So leadership is one. Skill set is another one, especially if they're in remote areas where they can't actually hire folks to come in and move to those areas. So I'd say, look for opportunities to work with companies like ours, which basically we offer fractional CIOs. Because this is what I used to do with Tenet Healthcare. I used to have four hospitals in Chicago, three hospitals in Boston, and two hospitals in Texas. And so I was able to actually manage all of these hospitals fractionally. In all, and I spent enough time, and so if I can do that, and we have resources, we have ex-CIOs that are working for us that are actually doing 20 hours a week, 10 hours a week for a hospital here and there, and by the way, these are some of my colleagues that I worked with over the years, and they're all very familiar about how to do that. So do that. Find companies that can actually come in and work with you to provide those resources, the skills, the skill sets, and by the way, the systems as well. We are actually providing EHR services to a lot of different small companies that we host their servers, we host all their environments, we provide. We have a pretty healthy group of people that provide that. This is something that when we recreate that large healthcare system environment for the small healthcare systems that or hospitals that don't have that. So that's what I would say. Get creative, go look for those types of partners that can help you get there. Don't try to solve everything on your own. This is not that simple, and you're gonna frustrate yourself, and you're just probably gonna spend more money than you need to.
Do you sense from your work a greater recognition from hospital leaders that, especially with IT and some of the other challenges faced, that you can't solve every problem on your own, that you need to be creative and find partners? I mean, I think in the past there might have been some more the idea of, like, we need to try and do it in-house as much as we can. Is there a greater recognition that in a changing landscape, you just have to partner more often and find different creative solutions rather than trying to do everything yourself?
I think what happened was that a turning point in our industry was the pandemic, to be honest with you. Starting 2019, 2020, we b began to realize that having to do everything internally is not necessarily needed. It wasn't required, right? So that was one thing that happened. I think the point that we just talked about margins being, smaller and pressures that are mounting, whether there is new cuts that are coming into Medicaid or other types of things that are coming about. So they're beginning to feel those pinch points. And so we have no choice. We have to actually move there. And we've already proven that, by the way, we can work in remote areas. We can have telehealth offered and take care of, maybe 30, 40% of the patient's needs remotely. So when these kinds of technologies came about, like I said, pandemic really actually opened our eyes about that. And we began to actually see a very different way of managing that. I also think that, as I mentioned, that we looked at things as healthcare system. We looked at things in more of a territorial based, whether we were run by government entities that said basically we don't want to be a part of a healthcare system because then we are not kind of dictating our own future, et cetera, to a point that we're seeing, first of all, we don't need to be that territorial. We need to cooperate. And by the way, there are ways to do that without necessarily joining a major healthcare system. And we can do that by banding together and solving those problems. So I think that we're in a completely different environment now, and we just need to take advantage of that.
Well, I know the time has actually been flying here. Before we wrap up, any other last insights or things we didn't hit on that you think might be useful for healthcare leaders as we sort of wrap up the discussion? I mean, we covered a lot of ground and not a lot of time, and the time really flew. But anything else that we might want to leave some folks with?
Yeah, I would just leave it with two specific areas. One is I want to kind of touch base on hospitals in general, including CIOs, really need to take a look at their revenue cycle environment, because I see a lot of money being left on the table, and you know, they don't look at it as necessarily being an IT kind of a thing, but it is. Technology, automation, and AI can actually solve a lot of your revenue shortages and revenue, you know, recoveries, et cetera. So take advantage of that. And again, same thing. These technologies can also help you mitigate and address a lot of the cybersecurity challenges that you have. So don't just look at some of the other parts that we talked about. Take a look at these major challenges that we have: revenue recovery, cybersecurity challenges, et cetera. Leverage these technologies in actually helping yourself in that as well. So that's where we've been kind of concentrating as well.
Well, we've been talking about payments and Zerricor. This conversation really flew by. Thanks so much for sharing so many of your insights. Really appreciate it.
Ron, thanks again for having me.
Thanks for listening to Healthy Bottom Line, a podcast from Chief Healthcare Executive. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For the latest healthcare news, compelling features, and deeper dives, visit chiefhealthcareexecutive.com. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and X. I'm Ron Southwick, lead editor of Chief Healthcare Executive. Take care.